This is the Packet Pushers podcast, where real engineers talk about networking, TCP/IP, data centers, IT infrastructure, and future technology. Sometimes we have vendors on to sponsor a show and talk about a product that we think is interesting or important, and today is just such a show. ThousandEyes has joined us as a sponsor to discuss the unique problem of managing the network you don't own. How do you diagnose problems on network segments that aren't yours, even though you've got infrastructure out there? For example, public cloud. You're a SaaS consumer or using AWS, let's say. So how do you pinpoint the root cause of network performance problems? This is where ThousandEyes steps in. ThousandEyes provides visibility across every network your organization relies on, enabling you to diagnose issues faster and share insights about those problems that you've discovered with anyone else. So I am Ethan Banks, and with me is Greg Farrow. You can follow us on Twitter at EC Banks and at Ethereal Mind, and then follow at Packet Pushers to keep up with the show. So let's jump right into things today and have our guests introduce themselves. And first up, we have Mohit Ladd. Mohit, welcome to the show, and please introduce yourself to the Packet Pushers audience.
Thanks, Ethan. Hi, Greg. Really happy to be here. This is Mohit Ladd. I'm one of the co-founders and the CEO of the company. And we started ThousandEyes some time back. We'll go into the story of how we got started, but just a real quick background on myself. I finished a PhD in computer science, focusing on networking, in particular, a lot of the BGP problems that we see in the modern-day internet. And with a couple of years of industry experience, realized that the timing was right to start something exciting, and that's how ThousandEyes got started.
So what I heard there is I have to call you Dr. BGP now?
as long as you don't have a BGP heart attack, I don't need to do CPR.
Okay. And joining Mohit from ThousandEyes is Ricardo Oliveira. Would you introduce yourself to the Packet Pushers audience?
Hi, Ethan. Hi, Greg. This is Ricardo. I'm the CTO and co-founder of ThousandEyes. My background is very similar to Mohit. We met at UCLA, so I know Mohit for a long time. The only difference is I realized it was an important problem to solve with 0 years of industry experience. Mohit had two, so he had a unique advantage over me.
It takes two sides to bring a product to market. One is the product, and the other one is getting it to customers.
Yeah, the advantage of working in the industry for 2 years is you do see all the legacy products, and you get to use them, so that's fun. And that's the
There's actually legacy products in this market. I thought everything was in BGP. That's what everybody tells me. BGP is awesome.
You guys may not know that Greg is he kicks BGP in the teeth every opportunity he can. So
it's fun though. And it deserves
So Greg, this is one of the reasons you might want to look at ThousandEyes personally is because we make the whole task of managing BGP much easier. So if you don't really like BGP, it's a good chance for you to get off your...
I know what I'm saying is BGP is a path protocol, but it has no monitoring capability. And so you don't get any visibility into your network. You can't go into BGP and say, how's my network going? Is it running well? How's my response times? What part, you know, where is everything? How's everything operating? Because BGP doesn't do that. It's not a solution. It's only part of the problem in that sense.
So this is actually a perfect segue, a really perfect segue for you guys to introduce ThousandEyes and talk about what you do. Not that we want to pigeonhole as a BGP product, but why don't you just jump right in and talk about what it does?
Let me give you a quick overview. And the BGP is a good starting point because we focused on BGP a lot in our research at UCLA and worked on really understanding. And the fundamental issue that we came across was the internet is really distributed, right? Nobody centrally owns it and everybody is acting in their own best interest. So the fundamental issue with something like this is that you don't really know or control what's going on. And one of the themes behind ThousandEyes as we got started was we realized that if you look at all the monitoring products out there, and it's a crowded space, if you look at the entire universe of products, there's a lot of stuff being done, and it's all very similar in that it gives you a sense of what's going on in your own environment, but it's a very small slice of what you need to know in order to really run your business or to run your enterprise IT organization. So the theme behind ThousandEyes was to build something that transcends the typical enterprise boundaries and give you a unified view of what's going on across the entire network, not being restricted by just what you can touch, but rather giving you intelligence on what's going on outside your own environment that affects your applications. And the three themes from a technology standpoint, that from a product standpoint, the company standpoint, that we wanted to really hit on was, one, build really unique technology that goes beyond what people are used to. So this is something we're focused on a lot. It really is about giving you unconstrained visibility, and we'll talk about that more in a few minutes. The other aspect of building the company was the theme that it's not enough to just be a network layer solution. And for us, it was really important to be application aware. And an example, as all the network audience knows, is if you see packet loss in a certain segment, you probably don't care unless your applications are affected. And so a big part of ThousandEyes is forming a very strong correlation between application experience and what the network and underlying behavior is. And finally, the third component, which we have all gone through, is we do spend a lot of time troubleshooting, but then we are trying to communicate the diagnosis to other parties who are relevant to fix the problem. We struggle. And the reason being because we have to send them PDFs and screenshots of our consoles, and that's not really productive. So another theme that has been a central pillar for ThousandEyes is building a very strong collaboration platform right from the very beginning, which will not only let you identify where the issues are, but also really let you communicate it in a much more seamless manner to people you need to get help from.
So there's monitoring, and then there's, again, that last point there is communicating what you have discovered to other parties, which gets really interesting on the internet, since the person with the problem might be two levels removed from you who you don't have a customer relationship with.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And when we started, to be honest, when we started, right, we have this notion of a share link, which anytime you find something interesting, you can click on share and send it to anybody who has a valid email address, right? And our customers would constantly send it to ISPs, to CDNs, to their upstream providers. And sometimes we would have the impression that these guys actually hate us because we're finding problems in their environment. And then I ran into one of the guys who had received a share link from us, from one of our customers at Nanog. And what he told me was really interesting. And his thought was, when I joked to him, "Oh, you probably hate us," he said, "Well, not really, because, you know, at any given point of time, I have 30 open tickets that I'm trying to go through. And then one comes along which actually gives me more information than anybody else. And I guess which one I'm going to look at first, right?" So in many ways, it's not really pointing problems as much as just making their jobs easier, even if you're two levels above or beyond. Because at the end of the day, as network folks, we always want the network to work.
Some people listening to this might be going, wait a minute. So ThousandEyes is really just kind of another fancy network performance management solution. It's, you know, it's another flavor of SolarWinds. But you guys really aren't that. I mean, can you kind of pinpoint how you're different? We've kind of been hinting around it, but I mean, there's a lot more here under the hood than simple SNMP queries and that sort of thing. You know, how would you describe yourself as distinct from other NPMs that are out there?
Sure, good question. So philosophically, if you think about ThousandEyes, unlike other solutions, we're basically creating a new data set of network knowledge, information, intelligence, which lets you not only manage your existing infrastructure and applications, but also helps you make better decisions. So if you think about use cases, which makes it more concrete, if you are a large enterprise organization and you are either relying or starting to move towards a lot of cloud or SaaS applications, or even if you're not doing that, one other trend we see a lot in the industry among our customer bases is they're tired of buying expensive MPLS circuits. So they're trying to move their infrastructure to a hybrid, you know, part MPLS, part internet-based branch office connectivity scenario. In either of these cases, the internet is starting to become your corporate backbone. And the managing network aspect has changed fundamentally from what was 5 years ago or 10 years ago. So where ThousandEyes is different is, unlike other solutions that are built for controlled environments, ThousandEyes is really built for chaos, where you don't even know what your infrastructure is, what your underlying dependencies are, where your applications sit. And the theme behind ThousandEyes is, instead of being data center focused from a deployment standpoint, we believe in the concept of building smart agents that can be deployed closer to the end users. And the advantage of doing this is, with a deployment that is closer to the end user, you can now trace things that you depend on and you rely on. So once you have ThousandEyes in your enterprise environment, you could find answers to questions like, hey, what is the performance of my offices to Office 365? And if it's not optimal, is it my enterprise environment? Is it because I'm backhauling traffic the wrong way? Or is it the internet? Or is it just Office 365 is not a good solution for me? So these are questions that we can instantly provide answers to.
because the internet's not guaranteed. The biggest problem with using the internet is you don't know what the performance is going to be because you don't know where the traffic goes. Once it leaves your external DMZ and hits that WAN connection, it could go via 10 providers, it could go via one provider to Azure, you know, Office 365. You just don't know.
Absolutely. And the other aspect of that is it's constantly changing, right? So you may know how it's routing things tonight, but tomorrow morning when you wake up, it's different. And that's the reason why it's really important for every organization, and this is not a pitch for Thousand Eyes as much, as they think through their network strategy, right? It's really important for them to understand that they need to constantly look at this big network they rely on, and it's not a one-time snapshot thing.
I think Mohit mentioned keyword here, chaos, and it's really one of the unique differentiators is also the fact that we are not an on-prem solution that sits in a single segment of the network. We actually have different types of agents that can adapt to different segments of network, from branch data center to the cloud. And because we are a software as a service solution, these agents collect data from all these different segments and beam all the data to us, to a central point, so we can make sense of all this data. So instead of solutions that existing legacy solutions that are just within the four walls of data center, we go beyond that and can tackle all these diverse and complex distributed environments.
Yeah, and one of the things you might have spotted in the past, Ethan, is if you look at our blog, we constantly blog about major events that we capture in the internet. So these are interesting hijacks or events where the performance really drops because of some major ISP issues. And the reason we're able to do this sort of analysis is because we have a really massive data set, which is aggregated data across our entire customer base, which is giving us the intelligence on what's going on in the internet at any given point of time.
Let's just drill into that a little bit, because I'd just like to drive that home to the audience, which is, if you're in an enterprise and you're connecting to the cloud, AWS, Azure, Salesforce.com or whatever, you're going to be using the internet unless you're one of the unlucky few who's got, you've got so much money you can afford to buy a private circuit. You're going to be connecting over the internet. So the path between the edge of your data center network, where your data center connects to the internet is normally data center LAN, DMZ, firewalls, security engines, and so forth. And once it leaves that and hits the edge router, it traverses the internet. You've got no idea about the performance over the internet, so you've got no way. So if all of a sudden your users are saying to you, oh, my access to Azure is running really slow today, you don't know if it's the internet or whether it's your DMZ or whether it's your data center LAN. Now, the part here is that you can check your DMZ, you can check your data center LAN because it's in your control, or even your WAN if you've got some WAN monitoring tools. And, we'll talk about SD-WAN and how it's going to be using the internet more in a bit. But you don't get any visibility into the internet. And as you said, today it might go via this provider, level 3, Cogent, and then get to AWS. But something can happen, there's a political change or business change in level 3 and the traffic goes via another path, which might be longer and slower. And that might be the root cause of the change. And the only way you're going to get that is to have a service from, companies like Thousand Eyes who are actually monitoring in this and can tell you.
This would be a good time just to point out what the infrastructure is for Thousand Eyes. If I'm a customer that buys Thousand Eyes, what am I buying? And because I'm a Thousand Eyes customer, I'll just summarize my knowledge of it and you guys fill in either what I'm getting wrong or what I'm missing. But it's an agent or a series of agents that you deploy on particular points in your network as a VM. So you load it up on your virtual infrastructure as a VM. This thing will phone home. There's a Thousand Eyes account you've got in the cloud that is presenting to you all of the data gathered from your different agents. And you use that console to provision tests that you want these agents to run. There's a whole series of different tests that you can set up from the agent to various endpoints. It doesn't have to be to another agent. It goes out to the cloud. It goes out to some particular URL you want to do a transaction against. It can do simple network path tests. And then you look at that console in the cloud and you see everything that's going on. So if, like what Greg was saying a second ago, there's a change in the path between you and some SaaS service you're consuming because of politics or a merger and acquisition, who knows what, you'll be able to see, yesterday my path between here and this service was X. Today it's slower. Oh, and by the way, the path changed overnight pretty dramatically, and here's how it changed. You can actually see all the hops along the way. You can see things like BGP topology changes and the autonomous system hops between you and the remote site and see how those might have changed and get a historical perspective on it. How am I doing? Does that sound about right?
That sounds pretty good. I'm taking notes so I can steal that and put it on our website. So,
right.
But One of the things we didn't touch upon, which you alluded to a little bit, is in terms of the deployment models, there's two ways you can consume ThousandEyes. You can use the software agents that you could deploy pretty much anywhere inside your data centers, branch offices, and so on, which give you a monitoring framework you can then leverage to test any application. The other way to consume ThousandEyes is using our cloud infrastructure. So one of the things we've built is a pretty massive distributed cloud infrastructure that lets you choose a set of agents to do some testing from. So the typical use case for this is companies such as Salesforce, you know, Office 365. They have the responsibility to deliver their applications globally, and so they can use our global infrastructure to test if the application is being delivered correctly with good performance metrics to Europe, to Asia, and when there are regional issues, you can understand what's the source of that. So that's the other way to consume.
Yeah, I actually used a feature like that to run some voice tests. I needed a voice endpoint to run some testing against, and I didn't have an endpoint sitting in San Jose, California, but there was a ThousandEyes globally distributed agent available to me in that area, so I could monitor, get a mean opinion score from a path using that.
Yeah, that's also one more benefit of having the cloud agents is when you're inside your enterprise environment and you want to run a test from your endpoint, as you mentioned, to some external endpoint going through our ISP, then we actually have those endpoints for you that you can target in different regions. So that's interesting as well. The fundamental theme to keep in mind for the audience here as well is if you think about the core technology and the method we use, it really focuses on active probing, which essentially involves generating a data set by creating probes and sending traffic to characterize the performance, but also characterize the underlying infrastructure. And at a concept level, you mentioned that there's problems with traceroutes and so on. So at the concept level, this is very different from just sending traceroutes. We all know that traceroutes don't always work. And so what we've done, and this is in response to Ethan, a question you asked very early is, you know, how do we differentiate in terms of the technology? One of the core things for us has always been be really deep about what we present to the audience. So you're not going to find ThousandEyes doing a lot of monitoring, which is just saying, hey, something is up, something is down. If we venture into a specific application, we do a really good job in making sure that we can give you good depth on this. So as an example, if you find that Office 365 is slow from your office or from your offices, that's the application layer, right? Which you will be able to understand things like page loads, how long is the page taking, what is the transaction of clicking through a certain set of things. And to be completely transparent, there's like 100 other vendors that do this sort of application level analysis. So in concept, we don't have anything unique there. Where it gets really interesting and unique is when you see an application behavior, you can then start peeling under the surface and see what's actually causing it, especially if it's network related. And that's where ThousandEyes becomes unique. So if you see that Office 365 is taking 10 seconds instead of 3 seconds, you can then jump to a layer which just gives you a pure network view. And this is a view for, you know, people like us that really are network geeks, that shows metrics like packet loss, latency, even things like bandwidth, which is measured without any server-side cooperation. So there's a lot of really neat network hacks I've put together to make this work. But once you see that the network is a problem, you can then go into a view which we call path visualization that gives you a hop-by-hop analysis of what's going on. And if you're in an IT environment, you're used to looking at a specific interface and understanding what the packet loss is, which is typically done on SNMP. Think about getting a similar sort of view on any hop in the internet, right? And you don't actually have any credentials to log into any routers, but this is all inferred data that we can collect with our heuristics and our sampling that gives you a sense of a similar view of, okay, this particular interface in level 3 is having a massive packet loss. And it started at this time and it ended at this time. So that coincides with a specific event that you're seeing on the application side. Now, if you're seeing a scenario, which we've seen in the past, where you see packet loss at different networks, so let's say you have loss at some interfaces in level 3, some in Avanet, some in Verizon, that's unusual. And that typically reflects a control plane issue, which You know, I'm sure Greg would like to chime on, but this is an example where you potentially have a BGP issue. And we ran into a scenario with a large customer where we came across this situation a couple of years ago. It just didn't make sense. There was loss in like five different networks. And then we realized that this was a control plane issue, which is why we added the extra layer of BGP. So you can now jump from the layer three tracing to actually go into the control plane and see if the BGP routes were flapping, if there were reachability issues. So, you know, think about 4 years ago or 3 years ago, pre-Thousand Eyes, you would have to basically do all of this separately, and it would still be a huge task. And we're basically combining all of this in one thread. So you can look at the application, you can jump straight to the BGP view, you can jump to the layer three view, and it's really easy to use. So that's the, you know, the core idea in terms of how you think about Thousand Eyes.
Yeah, one thing I'd like to add is we actually don't use any of the vanilla tools that come command line, like Traceroute or Ping. We don't use any of that. We actually craft our own packets byte by byte. So we have a tight control on what type of payload we actually send and headers. And that way you can actually replicate what an application looks like from the point of view of the network. So for example, when you send a voice stream from an agent to another agent, we actually, the way we discover the path traversed by the voice packets is by mimicking the headers that the real voice call would have. And that way, once the packets start expiring hop by hop, we can uncover the actual path taken by the voice call. So I think that's one of the things pretty unique. The other thing is the way we organize data in our end. So we have this concept of layers, which are loosely defined to different applications or layers in a OZ stack. So we have the network layer, we have the DNS layer, the HTTP layer, and web layer. So, and what happens is if you see a problem in one of the layers, you can easily switch to another layer while keeping some context around time and target and objects that you monitor. So, for example, if you have an HTTP server problem, meaning you cannot get to the server, it might be because of routing or maybe because of DNS. So you can easily correlate with other layers. So that's pretty powerful.
Again, it's that having a quick visual reference to identify where the issue is and then being able to drill in, you know, from there. I did a blog post for you guys a while ago on packetpushers.net and kind of got into this, you know, drilling around troubleshooting a it happened to be the web server of a local ski resort that I ski at sometimes in the winter. And I was trying to buy tickets and their sales site was down, or at least it was unavailable to me. And I was trying to figure out what the problem was. And all the things that you just described enabled me to sort out exactly what the problem was and where. Same kind of a thing with troubleshooting a sporadic voice quality problem between me and another endpoint. Through the interface, you can quickly click around and drill right in to an appropriate layer to figure out where a challenge was. In this case, with this voice quality problem, it was what was probably an overloaded node. It would just from time to time become very slow to respond and seem like it was maybe having a congestion problem of some kind that would correlate to an occasional low mean opinion score for voice quality. Mm-hmm. If you've never seen the Thousand Eyes interface, you need to just go get a demo and look at it because it will present hop by hop in a way that it's really intuitive to look at. And if you don't know much about BGP and how BGP autonomous systems work, the way it's presented to you hop by hop and the way you can click around to see how that looks and how other endpoints are going through the BGP system at that time, It's well done. And if you, again, as a network engineer, is familiar with thinking about things from a path perspective,
yeah,
it gives you information quickly in the interface.
Yeah, and if you know, all network engineers are always fighting fires, right? So one of the things that was important for us is that they have the means to solve problems quickly, even if they're not Thousand Eyes customers. And one key thing we did last year, early this year, was launch a free version of the product. Now, this is not, you know, this is a full-blown free version, which gives you the ability to solve a life problem, even if you're not a Thousand Eyes customer. So to the audience here, I would encourage, if you're actually fighting a network fire and you want to try to solve it as soon as possible, you can go to the Thousand Eyes webpage and just sign up, and you could get a version of the product which lets you deploy up to 3 agents and gives you enough ammunition to go and solve a live problem right away. And this has been really compelling to the overall network community. And coming from that side, I've worked in Nokia as well, and we've had to fight some network fires in the past. And the last thing you want is when you're fighting a fire is engage sales for some company. So we understand as well, and the free product is meant exactly for that.
You guys mentioned custom crafting packets, not relying on network tools that might be baked into a Linux distribution or Windows or some such, but actually doing your own thing. Can you get into some of the specifics of what you're doing that's unique? You know, we got an audience of engineers here that would be kind of interested in that.
For example, for when you do the pass trace to uncover the layer 3 hops between a client and a server, for example, one of the things we need to make sure is not to fall into the pitfalls of ECMP. Because once you have ECMP, your trace routes might just go south because you start seeing these false links being advertised because one of the probes went through the link A and the other one runs through link B, and suddenly you have this link that just doesn't exist in reality. So there's a lot of these pitfalls that you might not even realize if you look at trace route data, for example, at face value. So one of the things we do is make sure, for example, we always reuse the same 5 tuples while we're doing these probes, and that makes sure that you pin basically the path in the network that your packets traverse, so you don't have these issues of path distortion. So that's just an example. The other thing we do on the JavaScript side on UI is we actually aggregate interfaces and infer this concept that we have called forwarding loss, which is basically the fraction of packets that an interface forwarded to the server that was lost. And that's then actually using some aggregations on a graph. So we basically build this graph from all the agents towards the target. It's sort of a fanning type of graph, or inverted triangle, if you will. So as one thing we do, we make sure is, you know, there's cases of interfaces that actually never reply to time-exceeded packets. And there's cases of genuine loss where just because you don't get a reply is because there's loss in the network. So we have an algorithm that is actually able to distinguish these two cases, and with some level of confidence gives you some loss around that interface. So if you have like performance degradation end to end, you can quickly go into the path visualization and understand where that loss is happening.
Yeah, one other thing I'd point out is if you look at a traditional trace route, for a lot of sites, you may never, ever get a response, right? So you just get a bunch of stars and it continues and you never get a response. And that's the way traceroute works. But the version of path tracing that we've built in, we're always guaranteed to get a response from the end user, from the end server, which means we can quantify the number of hops you rely on. Even if some of the hops are not identified, we can quantify that and we can narrow the unidentified hops to a certain segment of the network between a certain set of endpoints, as opposed to just not knowing when you do a trace route and you don't get a reply, you're not really sure, is the server down or are they just blocking trace routes?
Yeah, the other type of test we do is the end-to-end metrics test. So, for example, you're able to measure end-to-end loss to a specific TCP port from a client to a server. And the way we do that is using a single TCP connection and using raw socket. So we don't rely even on kernel sockets for that. And the reason is that we send a train of packets, and the packets don't even get to the application layer on the other end because we use some tricks to make sure it stays within the TCP buffer on the server side. And based on the replies you get from the server, we're able to compute delays and loss using a single TCP connection, so it doesn't look like a scene flooding attack on the other end.
Here's something you can fill in for me. I've noticed in using it that you can detect hops within a carrier's MPLS cloud in certain circumstances, where if the agent's on the far side of a circuit and you're coming across the cloud, in a typical trace route, you don't see the cloud hops, but yet ThousandEyes seems to be able to diagnose what's going on inside the cloud. How are you digging in under there and able to pull that?
We actually do some inference on MPLS. Whenever there's what you call an MPLS tunnel, is basically a chunk of network that there's some LSP. So there's basically three or four types of tunnels, like the implicit, explicit, opaque, and invisible. And the combinations derive from the fact that, inside the tunnel, the routers might be configured to, whenever the packet expires, to actually send you back the label that was used in a packet, in the ingress packet. And based on that label, we know that there was an MPLS tunnel at that point. If there's no label, we still have ways to infer that there was a tunnel based on a TTL of the packet. So there's some algorithms that you use to make all these inferences. When you're in our passive visualization screen, if you mouse over a specific link, we can tell you if it's part of an MPLS tunnel and I mean where in the tunnel you are in terms of hops as well. As well as giving you the labels and other information that was used to route the packet. So I think that's more useful for people that actually manage MPLS, like service providers. But we actually have pretty large enterprise customers that also roll their own MPLS.
And the enterprise customers like the ability to just click on a small link on the left in the path view to just overlay the MPLS cloud on top. So they can clearly see what segment is going over MPLS, what segment is not going over MPLS. Another thing that is relevant to some customers is detecting MTU mismatches as well. And we had one customer that had a very weird application issue, which they spent a lot of time trying to figure out what was going on, and turned out that one segment there was an MTU mismatch, which was actually causing the application behavior. And we hadn't seen something like that before, but it was with ThousandEyes that they could relate that this event was coinciding exactly with the MTU mismatch happening, and they realized that was the source of the problem, which was really interesting to see. And this is a large financial customer, so it was really interesting to actually be a part of this discovery, which made us realize that there are aspects of the network that are important, and you don't really typically relate to them affecting application issues in an obvious manner. But when you can correlate these in an easy way, it just makes it all come together.
Kind of tied to this is another metric that you guys do, which is estimating throughput between endpoints. And if I remember right, because I heard you guys bring that at a Tech Field Day event before, this is kind of interesting how you pull this off as well. Can you talk about that?
So we developed this technique to estimate the bandwidth between a client and a server without instrumenting the server using TCP packets, which is something really unique. I mean, traditionally, the way you do this is to run iperf on client and server, for example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the scenario here was you're using Office 365, so you can't run iperf on the other side, right? And you still want to understand whether you have a bottleneck capacity. Now, the caveat here is what we're presenting is the bandwidth from the client to the server. So that's one caveat, but I'll let Ricardo handle
yeah, that's correct. So down. so we do estimate the bandwidth from client to the server, and that's based on a sequence of packets, again, using a single TCP connection. And we basically have a way to estimate the time it took for the server to receive a certain amount of packets from the client, and based on the number of packets and on that time, we can estimate both the capacity between the A and B, and also the available bandwidth, which sort of measure the fraction of the pipe that is being used, and that's actually right now I think we're only allowing that from enterprise agents.
Correct. Yeah, and if I recall, that did take a lot of R&D, but also a lot of fine tuning. Before we launched it, we ran some extensive testing on it to make sure that we were really accurate. And based on our testing, we could be really accurate up to gigabit speeds in figuring out bottleneck capacities and bandwidths.
Yet another test I want to ask about that I've experimented with some is how you handle voice. I mean, I've talked a bit about mean opinion score and so on, and I know you've got some remote agents that you can run tests against. Can you just talk through how you guys are measuring? I don't want to limit it to voice. I mean, let's say unified communication quality across public transport.
Voice is a really interesting application because it's very, very sensitive to network issues, right? And one of the things we saw as we had deployed the web-based and network-based troubleshooting in our product was that a lot of people were really asking for VoIP troubleshooting since they were having issues. And the theme of VoIP is very similar in its application aware. So one layer of view we provide is giving you a sense of what is the voice quality measured as just simply MAS scores or packet discards or packet loss between two endpoints. And the endpoint could be an enterprise agent on one side or a cloud agent on another side. Or enterprise on both sides. So that's one layer. And the data you get here is, for us, more application-aware rather than being the ground truth, right? So what we focus on once you get the VoIP view is you can do a similar jump to the network view and get a sense of hop-by-hop what's going on in the network. So what is interesting here, and I'll let Ricardo tackle some of the ways we're doing this. But what is interesting from a troubleshooting standpoint is you realize that the MOS score from your office in San Francisco to your office in New York has suddenly dropped. You could go into the network view and see a hop-by-hop path between your office and the New York office. But this is, again, a different discovery. It's not using the same method we use for the web-based stuff, which is TCP-based. This is based on UDP. And this was also crafted specifically to make sure that we're mimicking all the wipe traffic and at the same time mapping out the network dependencies. But you could see whether a specific interface that's lossy. Another exciting and interesting thing is you can actually just find any sort of DSCP changes, markings, remarkings that happen in the network, not just on your segment, but even outside. And that level of interaction immediately lets you know if your voice quality issues are due to DSCP remarkings, if it's because of network quality, if it's bandwidth issues, and it's the ability to get to the root cause right away. And that's where the differentiation is. So, you know, we have seen plenty of products that do a lot of stuff on just finding MOS scores. But where we're trying to excel is just getting to the root cause of where the problem is, even if it's outside your network.
Caused by BGP, for example, voice problems using, you know, caused by routing disruptions. So that's another. Whenever we do a voice test, we not only do the, you know, uncover the path, layer three hop by hop path between the client, the, you know, the agent that is doing the call and the recipient, but also we at the same time we keep track of the, you know, BGP changes that might happen at that time, which we actually found some cases of performance degradations caused by routing disruptions. It's pretty funny.
I got to go back to the DSCP remarking. How do you actually figure that out, that a packet got remarked? Because you don't own any of that infrastructure. How can you tell that a DSCP value got changed along the way?
A bit of information that is a bit buried, but it's actually, if you look at the packets that you get back, the ICMP time exceeded packets that you get from each interface, you get the headers of the original packets inside that time exceeded packet. And if you look at those headers, you have the SCP of the packet, the ingress packet in that case. So we are able to infer the link, meaning the pair of interfaces that were involved in the SCP change, but we don't know exactly if it was, you know, the left one or the right one or the ingress or the
we can't pin down the interface, but we can pin down the link between the two interfaces that where the change happened, I guess.
Yeah.
Which is a good starting point.
Yeah.
And I know one of the ways, you know, the other solutions we're doing this is through, you know, net flow analysis or, you know, other packet capture in some extent, but then you only get, you know, end-to-end picture because you need to do a Wireshark on receiving end to see if the SCP was changed, but then you don't know where the network was changed.
Another question here that you guys have pointed out several times that, hey, when this event happens, we can oftentimes correlate that to a BGP topology change. How does ThousandEyes consume the internet BGP routing table? I'm assuming, I mean, there's an agent perspective on it, but then there's also a global perspective where, I mean, are you monitoring the global BGP table and keeping track of how autonomous systems are peering with one another and so on? Or where does that info come from?
What we're collecting is information at different layers, right? So we talked about the agents quite a lot. The agents essentially do active probing, which is they're generating a stream of traffic for a specific target to measure the performance and characterize the network, et cetera. The BGP, on the other hand, is more of a passive data set where we essentially collect data from a lot of the public archives. So RouteViews, RIPE, et cetera, these have BGP peers from some key ISPs. And essentially what we're doing is correlating that data set with the active monitoring data set. So the agents themselves are not speaking BGP, but we've figured out how we can consume this public data set to do some really, really strong correlation for a specific test. So as an example, when you're setting up a test at ThousandEyes, you don't even need to know what BGP is. All you need to know is what's your application. So if you say, I want to monitor Salesforce.com, at the back end, when you enter Salesforce.com, we'll figure out what IPs that results to based on the agents. Then we'll figure out what address blocks they belong to. And then we'll tap into our BGP data set and look at those address blocks, including covering blocks. So if your block is a /24, we would actually go back all the way to the largest block, and we will monitor the changes for all of those blocks simultaneously to simultaneous to all the active probing that we're doing to that application. So what you will get as a result is not just the layer 3 view, but you can now get the view for all the address blocks that are being that cover that specific IP. And you may see that the same blocks cover multiple IPs, right? If you're looking at NA1, NA2.salesforce, NA3, it's possible that a bunch of them fall in the same BGP block or the same ISP that is sending these blocks out. And so that's where if these ISPs are having issues or there's an address block issue, then it impacts not just that specific test, but a broader set of tests. Does that give you a perspective on how the BGP thing works?
It does, and it prompts yet another question. I'm just full of them today. So you have that global BGP perspective then, because as you said, there's the public feeds that can give you that, and then you can correlate prefixes to events and so on. But you had mentioned very early in the show that you're gathering global statistics from really anyone that's a ThousandEyes customer. Is that, and then able to correlate all that data as well?
Yep.
So, okay, let's say I'm a customer hyper-concerned about security. Can I opt out of that? In what way is my data presented to the global ThousandEyes data set?
Yeah, so we're not collecting anything from your network, right? What we're essentially looking at is the core ISPs that you traverse through. So, for example, if you're an enterprise, we're not interested in what's going on in your branch office. What we're interested in is when you take level 3 as an upstream, what happens in level 3? So that's the level of information we cover. And we have a really strong security program. As you are aware, Ethan and Greg, we work with a lot of the top financials. The fact that we have our agents inside their infrastructure really is a testament to the security program we have in place, which is very rigorous about what we collect. And we're very transparent about that. So as an enterprise, if you're concerned about security, it's not a real concern from a standpoint because we're not collecting your specific information. We're collecting the public ISPs that you traverse and the performance over them. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. It does. Yep, it does. Okay, one more kind of a use case positioning thing here. We've, on Packet Pushers, talked to a lot of SD-WAN vendors. We've had several of them have come on the show and talked about their value proposition. And there's a little bit of overlap with ThousandEyes in a certain sense. And let me explain. One of the problems that SD-WAN vendors want to solve is the challenge of performance between what is on your premises and the network you don't own at some public cloud, AWS or Salesforce.com, et cetera, and making sure that if they've got multiple ways, multiple physical paths that they could take to get to that resource, which one's the best? And so they do performance monitoring and so on, which in a certain sense is what you do, only you're doing it from a monitoring perspective, not a forwarding perspective.
Yep.
I mean, what are your thoughts on that? How do you guys tie in or think of the SD-WAN technology there?
Yeah, so it's an interesting area. And the broader problem that SD-WAN is really trying to solve is people are really tired of carrying a lot of traffic on expensive MPLS circuits, right? And the applications are now internet-based. So the theme of moving to internet as a backbone is where the overlap is, right? Because as you plan through that, as you manage, ThousandEyes becomes really interesting. Now, if you break the SD-WAN technologies into two components, there is a component where they measure performance, and there's a component where they do the control plane stuff. And the control plane stuff is something we're not touching at all right now. We're basically focused on performance. But if you compare the performance section of their SD-WAN technologies, it's very much end-to-end. So a lot of what they measure is, okay, what's the end-to-end latency from here to Office 365? What's the end-to-end latency from here to Salesforce? And in many ways, we see that as a fairly primitive way of measuring what the performance is, because it gives you an end-to-end view, but it's not really giving you the reasons behind that latency. And so if you really need to get around a problem zone, you don't really have that kind of visibility. Now, one thing we do have available in our product is an API. So there is a possibility that, and this is not really relevant necessarily just to SD-WAN vendors. It's more also for our enterprise customers. They have the ability to always pull intelligence on what's going on from each of their branch offices through an API. So for the very savvy enterprise customers, if they want to really implement our data set into a control plane strategy, then they can pull that information to ThousandEyes, and it's a lot more fine-grained and detailed. But at a conceptual level, I think the SD-WAN space is interesting. That's probably the most relevant SD side of things we've come across in our enterprise customer base compared to the SDN side, which is more data center focused for me. Where I see the key difference to highlight is the performance measurements that they do are typically very end-to-end focused, and we've seen that to be the focus of a lot of things they do is more in the control plane.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Talking to the SD-WAN vendors, they are concerned about, they know they have distinct physical ingress point or egress points, and they monitor, they come up with some kind of a metric across that. But I've had several of them tell me explicitly, we aren't interested in the underlay. We aren't talking to the physical components along the way and making any decisions on that. We're just focused on a metric that we compute between this SD-WAN forwarder and the remote SD-WAN forwarder that we're tunneling to with our overlay, and computing a metric there and then making a forwarding decision. But beyond that, they have no nuanced knowledge of what's really going on in the path underneath.
Yeah, and an analogy I would use is one enterprise customer we worked with that had some performance issues from their branch office, and they ended up deploying a WAN acceleration solution. I won't mention them because it's probably not the right time to mention them here, but they ended up deploying one of the leading WAN acceleration solutions. And then 2 months later, they contacted us and they said, hey, can you guys come and help us out? Because we're not really able to solve the problem. And their hope was that, their initial feeling was, we don't really care about the hop-by-hop things, right? We just want to solve the problem. The WAN acceleration is going to solve the problem. I don't know. It turns out the WAN acceleration did not solve the problem because they had some core issues in their infrastructure. And this is where it gets interesting, because there's often cases, this is the analogy for the SD-WAN side as well. Like, you may look at things from an end-to-end standpoint, it may work in some cases. But our objective at this point of time is to give every single network professional the best intelligence on what's going on in the network, and the best being the deepest, you know, the most comprehensive data set, and not end-to-end stuff as a starting point. So that's how we look at ThousandEyes. You know, it's definitely an interesting space, so we're keeping an eye on some of the SD-WAN vendors as well.
So speaking of engineers who, you know, want to solve this problem, if I'm going to go and propose this to my company that I'm going to buy this, how do I buy this? How do I consume ThousandEyes? Talk to me about licensing options and so on.
The commitment I want from you, Ethan, is that you will, after I explain this to you, go and sign up and pay with your credit card. So the jokes apart. So the concept behind ThousandEyes is really easy to consume. It's meant to be, it's built in a way where it's really fast and easy to deploy. So you can go to our website and you will see numerous places where it would say sign up. And you can click on the sign up button, enter your email. You will get an email, you will get an account within the next few seconds. And there are two pricing vectors once you get started. So that's obviously the free version I touched upon, but there are two pricing vectors. The first vector is the number of agents. The enterprise agents have a standard version, which is $99 a month, which gives you the ability to run all the network testing. And it's a good starting point if your focus is only the network. Now we have a pro version, which gives you the full stack view of not only the network, but other things such as VoIP, web applications, transactions, and they start at $299 a month. So, you know, if you have 10 offices, and you're running, you know, huge IT infrastructure across these offices, it doesn't cost you a whole lot of money to get started, right?
So again, it is subscription based. Buy this tool. I'm paying a subscription to run the probes and access the data via the cloud interface.
Correct. It's a subscription based service. Now, the beauty of the enterprise agents is once you deploy them, you can use them as much as you'd like, and as long as the capacity is available for testing. So we don't really price based on how many tests you run from the enterprise agents, and we encourage people to really use them for a lot of different things. So once you have them in place, now when you're ready to sign the next big cloud contract, before you sign it, run a test from ThousandEyes for 15 days and collect data on whether that's actually going to give you the performance from all your offices that you expect. So you don't have to go back and roll back the whole cloud application because it didn't work for your users.
Now, the agent runs on what sort of hypervisor? I mean, I know I've stood one up on VMware before. Are there other hypervisors supported?
We have an OVA format. So anything that supports OVA, we can run with that. We also have a Hyper-V version for Microsoft environments. And then we have the agent available as a Linux package as well. And for all the Chef and Puppet fans, we do have recipes for giving you the option of mass deployments as well. So we have the Linux flavor, which is a command line install. It's really quick. It takes a few seconds to get it up and running. And if you want to install it as a virtual appliance, then you pretty much have to download the appliance, turn it on, and it's all managed entirely through the web interface. So you don't have to do much.
Is there an option to run it on Windows?
Yes. Yeah, so the way you would run it on Windows, if you want to run it on native Windows, is use VMware or VirtualBox at this point of time.
Got it. So you don't run natively on Windows. I either got to stand up a virtual environment because it's Linux at the core.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So then last but not least, how do people get in touch with ThousandEyes? What's the best way for them to find you guys?
One thing I'd encourage everybody is we follow us on Twitter at ThousandEyes. We do blog a lot about interesting things in the internet, outages, etc. So we're hoping that that's a good reach. So follow us at ThousandEyes. You can always go to our website, ThousandEyes.com. You can go to ThousandEyes.com/signup. And these are always, you can interact with us, understand the product, play with it. When you sign up for the product, even if you're a free user, one of the things we've done is we've included a lot of the top SaaS companies in a data feed that you can subscribe to. So imagine you had a problem with Salesforce last night, and you go and sign up with ThousandEyes this morning. There's this magic that we can do where once you subscribe to the Salesforce feed, you can look at the last 14 days of data, and you can actually look at what happened with Salesforce yesterday night, even though you created a ThousandEyes account this morning. And that's a free data set that's just being pushed to the community in line with our view of sharing information with the masses. And I would encourage people to do that because that's a really valuable set of information. So the free account gives you access to all those feeds, and it just gives you a pulse of what's going on with your top applications. Even if you don't end up deploying anything, deploying an agent, that's one way to consume the data. And if you don't like Twitter, you're on Facebook. We're also on Facebook.
Also on Facebook. Oh, too bad. Golf
app. Yeah. And then Facebook's all on you.
Well, there's eyes everywhere, so.
That's right, yeah. There's a thousand eyes in Facebook.
Yeah, there's a thousand eyes. And
For the listeners
of the podcast that want to follow either Ricardo or me, my Twitter handle is at Mohit Lad.
And my Twitter is at RVELOSO. It's more complicated.
Great. Well, we will put that in the show notes for you guys that want to follow Mohit and Ricardo.
One last thing I'd like to chime in is we've been obviously caring a lot about the network community, but we've recently come out with a really nice shirt that I wouldn't describe our podcast because it's really hard, but if you go to our website, I believe the URL is /t-shirt, thousandeyes.com/t-shirt, you will find a really interesting t-shirt which mocks the typical experience with Traceroute in a nice punny kind of way. So I would encourage all the network guys to go and do that. When we were at Cisco Live recently, we had an entire repository of t-shirts which was meant for 3 days, go out in the first 2 hours, and all the network guys just consumed it like it was free donuts. So I think you guys would like it. And Ethan and Greg, if you haven't seen this, we would love to ship you guys this one as well. I think you'll like it. So won't break the suspense. Just go to our website and check it out, and you can sign up for your free Traceroute t-shirt.
Cool. Well, Greg, I ended up kind of owning the conversation with a lot of questions. I didn't mean to run you over. Did you have thoughts you wanted to share as we close up the podcast?
Yeah, so just there's a big picture developing here. If you look around Up until now, we've done network monitoring, and network monitoring is about going and pulling data from devices and then doing some really, you know, charting it or mapping it or pinging something, and that's not enough going forward. And tools like ThousandEyes are representative of a whole new category of products that do analytics. So they don't just get data from devices. They go and get data from lots and lots of places, and then they bring the data into a central place and sort of do big data on it to tell you stuff that's going on. And so ThousandEyes is focused on getting you visibility into the internet that you can't do yourself. There's no way you can do this on your own. You need to have a provider who's got the software to do it. And it's not about monitoring, although we call it that. It's actually big data. It's analytics. It's taking data from thousands and thousands of internet sources and doing mathematics and all that sort of stuff to it. And this is, and ThousandEyes is just one of the first companies to come to market and stabilize and mature in this space. So you should definitely be checking it out. You need visibility into the internet, because in the next 5 to 20 years, you'll be putting everything over the internet. You won't have a dedicated MPLS WAN because it's just not cost effective.
Very good. And Greg, where can folks find you?
Well, as always, you can find me on my blog at etherealmind.com and on the Twitters as @etherealmind. And, of course, occasionally I'll be pushing some blog posts into Packet Pushers and supplementing the stream of content that occurs there.
And I'm Ethan Banks at EC Banks on Twitter. EthanCBanks.com is my blog. And this has been the Packet Pushers Podcast. We would love to hear your feedback about today's show. You can do that by sending an email to packetpushers@gmail.com and letting us know what is on your mind. And you can also check out the podcast website, which is packetpushers.net. This show will be featured up there, and you can comment there on today's show. You can interact with the ThousandEyes guys there if you have a specific question about the product, or give them some feedback on your experience with things. You can do that there as well. And certainly don't forget about Twitter. Follow us on Twitter @packetpushers. Last but not least, remember that too much networking would never be enough.